All right, let's take our Bible tonight and go over to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 15 tonight. Judges chapter 15. And going to look at Samson. I asked my wife today as we was getting ready for church, I said, "Do you ever think a lot about Samson?" She said, "No, I don't really think a lot about Samson." I appreciate the honesty. I mean, I do. I appreciate honesty. I do. You know, the only reason I think about Samson is because I studying on him. Amen. I mean, let's just be honest about it tonight. I mean, it ain't like I spend my day in and day out thinking on Samson every day. But Samson is a unique character in the Bible. He's one of the judges that ruled. The Bible tells us at the end of this chapter, of chapter 15, that, you know, let me say this. It is exciting around our house. It really is, because my wife is as honest as the day is long. And if I asked her a question, she'll be honest with me about it. Amen. And so that can get exciting sometimes. And so I've learned, Sister Brenda, if I do not want to know the answer to the question, I don't ask it. Amen. Because she's going to tell it to me. Amen. All right. Judges chapter 15. Samson was one of the judges that ruled in Israel. And at the end of that chapter, you'll find out that he had ruled for 20 years. The Bible said he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And if you go back and you look about Samson in Judges chapter 13, you'll find that when the angel came and told his mother that he was going to be born, in verse 5, we'll start here, and I'll let you read with this, read with me right here, and then we'll come back to Judges 15. But the Bible said in verse 5, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And then the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" And so we find that the Lord put Samson under this Nazarite vow. If you go back to Numbers chapter 6, you can read all that about under the Levitical law and that about the Nazarite vow, about what they could and couldn't eat, about what they could and couldn't be around, about what they could drink and not drink. And so it was a sanctified life. It was a separated life. And that to the Lord. Now, let me say this, that when you study the life of Samson, you'll find that Samson had great power with God and had the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life at times. But Samson had a lot of problems. Samson had a lot of problems with his flesh, and Samson loved women. He really did. If one thing that I really pick up on that story is Samson loved women. And so he had his problems. Now, that don't mean that just because Samson had his problems that we look for our opportunity to sin and have trouble with our flesh. But he fought not only with the power of God on his life, but he also fought personal battles in his life. And he did judge Israel for 20 years. And the thing about it is when I studied about Samson, and there's some things I don't understand about God. Can I just say this tonight? There are some things I don't understand about God. One, I would have never thought that Lot had a righteous soul. And I would have never thought that Samson would have ended up in the roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 said, "What shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." And so there's some things that I don't understand about God when I read this story right here about Samson. And you can take time and you can go read about that, but I want you to understand one thing. Samson didn't end well. Now, there's a lot of people that had faith, but they didn't end well.
At the end of this thing, you'll find out that Samson, he ended up letting Delilah cut his hair off. He lost his power with God. The Philistines took his eyes out. He was grinding in the prison house all because of the mess that he got his life in. But yet he still ended up in the Roke Hall of Faith. There's some things I just don't understand about God, but I know that he's merciful and that he's graceful tonight. But I don't want to look at none of that. I want to look at when Samson killed these thousand men over here. In Judges chapter 15, look with me in verse 14. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight if you would. We're going to preach a little while. So if you would, I'll ask you to stand while we reverence the reading of God's word here. And in verse 14, the Bible said, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became his flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And he was sore thirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. And God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. And wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakorah, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You can be seated tonight. Lord, help us now while we might preach, and we'll give you the glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Certainly need God's help tonight. What I want to look at tonight, with the Lord being our helper, is simply being revived after the battle. When you look here, you find that he's not asking for reviving in the battle, but it's reviving after the battle that he needed some help. Brother Jeff, he told me as we were on the front porch, Brother Summerall, he said, I done good. I run here and I run there today and done this and done that, and I went home and then I wore out. And how many of us has ever been that way before? It seems like that we work all day, and when we get done, and as long as we're going, we're okay. I thought about a time when I was working one time, and I'd been up in the ceiling of a big old building. It was, man, it was about 90 degrees outside and 110 where we were, and I worked all day up there. And I mean, I was good till I got home. And then when I got home and sat down, it was over with at that time. We find that true right here with Samson. When he went to fight the battle, you'll find that God, now understand what's going on right here, is Samson, he has went to get his wife. He's been married, and his father-in-law thought that he hated his wife, so he gave her to somebody else. And so Samson's mad, and he takes 300 foxes, takes a firebrand, put between their tails, and ties them together, and burns down all the corn, all of the olives in the vineyard, and that of the Philistines. And he ends up killing some of the Philistines in the process. He goes down there and kills them. And so they come and they, for Samson. And so the children of Israel, they come, the rulers of Israel, they come and they bind him, and they're going to deliver him and that to the Philistines. And he said, just do me one thing, don't fall upon me yourself. In other words, don't try to kill me yourself. Go ahead and deliver me to the Philistines. And so we find right here when he was delivered, they said they shouted against him in verse 14, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And can I say this today right here? Listen, I've never found anybody else like Samson in the Bible. I've never found anybody that God put in. I'm not saying God didn't. I find a time in Judges chapter 3 where there was a man over there that killed some 600 men with an ox goad. I did find that. And I do find where Gideon took 300 men and put everybody on the run over there, all them Amalekites. I find all that. But I've never found anybody like Samson. And so here he is. He's going in, and the Bible said right here that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The cords that were upon his arms became his flax that was burnt with fire. In other words, they just melted off and fell away. And the Bible said that he took a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. How can I say, number one, first of all, talking about being revived after the battle, first, Samson had to fight the battle. He had to fight. A lot of times, and what I'm getting at today, is a lot of times we get in our mind that we look more at it like at the time when Moses stood at the Red Sea and God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. A lot of times we look at it like King Jehoshaphat when God told him, set yourself, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now I'm glad that God will do that for us sometimes. I'm glad we don't have to battle. We don't have to fight. God just takes care of everything. But you know that most of the time that I've learned in my Christian life, we have to fight. It is a battle that is out in front of. Hey, why do you think that he said in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he tells us about the whole armor of God, how to go out and fight the battle as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But he had the power of God upon his life. I mean, Samson could do miraculous things. And I don't know, one preacher said that he imagined Samson kind of to be like Barney Fife, you know. That he was little and scrawny, and there's where the power of God showed up. I don't know. I mean, I heard one preacher say there had to be something to Samson, though, because in chapter 16 he picks up the gates of the city, throws them on his shoulders, and carries them up to the top of the hill. I don't know how Samson was. I don't know if he was a big man, a little man, a skinny man, a fat man, a muscular man. I don't know. But I do know this, that he had the power of God that would come upon his life. And he would begin to fight. Can I tell you tonight that we're not going to win the battle without the power of God in our life. We're not going to be able to listen to me. Now, you have to understand, I think most of y'all know this tonight, that we do have an adversary. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is working. What about seeking whom he may devour? We understand we've got a battle tonight, don't we? I mean, you realize that, don't you? The closer and the more you want to serve God, the more you're going to have to battle and fight. You're going to have to battle and fight this world. You're going to have to battle and fight your adversary. You're going to have to battle and fight your flesh. I mean, it's going to rire up on you and want to fight you. I hate my flesh. I do. I hate it. I mean, man, some of that old stuff comes back. And I hate my mind sometimes. Stuff that I seen years ago, decades ago and decades ago. Wish I wasn't that old, Brother Jeff, where I could say that. But I mean, stuff that I wish that I hadn't never seen. And sometimes it's not that I wanted to see it, but you've seen it. And all of a sudden, there it is again. It just flashes before your eyes. So now you're battling that. I mean, it's a battle and it's a fight. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know y'all ought to know this. Y'all know what I'm preaching on tonight. I mean, listen, y'all, I probably ain't going to tell y'all nothing I already told you. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, he went on to say, he said, and if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Can I tell you tonight, a striving is fighting. That's what he's talking about right now. And he's talking about that. You notice something right here? Yes. Samson had the power of God on his life and in his life, but he still had to fight, didn't he? Now, what are you trying to prove here, preacher? What are you trying to show us? Tonight, I'm trying to show you, and I'm getting ahead of myself tonight, but he fought, but when he got done, He was tired. Just because the power of God reigns and rests in our life and on our life does not mean that that ain't going to work on us. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? I mean, we get so spiritual sometimes that we don't think, you know, we don't wear out for nothing spiritually, you know. We don't get tired for nothing spiritually. You fight the devil enough and you'll get tired. We don't physically fight the battle, but we spiritually fight the battle. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's a spiritual warfare. I mean, do you ever get tired spiritually? Look at what he fought with. The Bible said in verse 15, he fought with the new jawbone of an ass over there. You know, God gave him something very unusual to fight with, didn't he? I'd call that an unusual weapon. Kind of like that ox goad that old boy used in Judges chapter 3. And can I tell you tonight that for our spiritual warfare, we don't pull out a physical sword, but we pull out a spiritual sword. That is a very unusual thing to use a book to fight a battle with. You ever think about that? What God gave us to fight a battle with was a book. I mean, that's what he gave us. I mean, Ephesians over there, when he's talking about the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. Samson takes something very unusual and he's going to fight with that thing and he wins. He beats a thing. He whips and kills a thousand men. Now imagine that battle in itself. I mean, you got one man out here facing a thousand men. Probably more. I don't know if any of them run off, but the Bible does tell us that he killed a thousand men. One man killed a thousand. I'd say he had to know something about fighting, didn't he? I'd say he had to know something about it. But he also knew something about having the power of God on his life. Because he knew that he couldn't do anything without the power of God on his life. And can I tell you tonight, me and you can't do anything without the power of God in our life. And on our life tonight. Hey, without having it, say, how do you get that, Lord? How do you get that from the Lord? I'm going to tell you, when you get saved and you separate yourself and that from this world and you engulf yourself into this book and you just want to serve God and live for God, hey, His power will show up, friend. It's not hard to understand the power. It's not hard. Let me see how I can get this and make it. It's not hard to get the power of God. Sometimes it's just hard to understand it. When somebody loves God and separates himself out of this world and just wants to serve God, His power will show up. But the Lord gave us a book to use. In Matthew chapter 4, when the Lord faced Satan himself over there, what did he say? He said, it is written. It is written. And again, I say to thee, it is written. Three times he told Satan, it is written. And that's how he defeated him. How else are we going to do that? It's going to be by the word of God. When he comes back, how's he going to do it? The Bible said by the sword, by the word of his mouth, by the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. It's going to be by his word tonight. What do we fight with and use to fight with? His word. What's the Bible say? We go and we look it up when we get in a battle. What's the Bible say? What do we need to do right here? How do we need to act right here? How do we get Satan to get away from us right here? How do we defeat him and get away? It's all in this book right here. This book will make a difference in your life. It's made a difference in mine. A very unusual weapon tonight. But that's what God gave us to fight with. But then I want you to look. He's fought and he's killed 1,000 men. But when he gets done, as I thought about this, I thought about Gideon. You know, the Bible said that in Judges, is it in Judges 7 or Judges 8, that he is faint yet pursuing. He had fought. God sent him down there to fight the battle. And God told him what to do, and he's faint, but he's pursuing. I'm telling you, battle will wear you out. And notice he said right here that he was sore thirst and called on the Lord and said, "Thou hast given us great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst." I mean, he had the power of God. That's very obvious. He killed 1,000 men. Imagine what men you could do with the power of God in and on our life. Imagine who we might be able to win to the Lord if we would just spend some time in prayer and if we'd go out and just be faithful to live right. What Brother Ralph talked about for the 3 days that he was here, and what Brother Caldwell talked about on Wednesday, to have that vision that we need and to go out and just imagine what we could do if we just followed God. Took this book and lived by what this book had to say. But you're awful about that. You're all for that book tonight. I've always been all for this book, but I'm telling you tonight, it'll make a difference. But notice he's tired. He's wore out. He has fought and fought and fought. I don't know if you've ever fought a spiritual battle, and it seems like a constant spiritual battle, one thing right after another, and one thing. You're the pastor of Baptist Church, amen. You'll be there. Listen tonight, but notice there was weariness that came after the battle. I don't know if he was wearied in the battle or not. The Bible said right here that he goes out and he kills 1,000 men, and when he gets to the end of this thing, he was sore thirst. You ever watch people, I thought about this while I studied this, you ever watch people come through a great big, what seemed like a spiritual battle, maybe you've not, but maybe you have, and they come through it with flying colors, and then when everything's going good, seems like after that, seems like that's when they get God. Can I say it like that? Seems like that's when the devil gets them, is after they fight that spiritual battle and they win that spiritual battle, and then when everything kind of settles off, and that's where they don't finish well at. But there was weariness after the battle. He made it through the battle, but the longer he fought, the weaker he got. But notice in verse 19, as he called out to the Lord in verse 18, says, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. Now, in this jawbone of an ass, there was a hollow spot that would make a little cup, if you'd let me say it that way. It was hollowed out, and it was lower than the rest of them. The Bible said that God clave, that he clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. So that hollow spot that was there, God clave it. He separated it. He broke it apart and let water come out of it. And then it would pool itself, and Samson could take that and drink it and find restoration for his soul. So the very thing that he fought with and whipped those 1,000 Philistines and killed them was the very thing that God used to restore him with. So the very book that you have in your hand tonight that you use to fight with is the very thing that will water your soul tonight. It's the very thing that can help you if you will read it and do what it says tonight. We get tired sometimes, don't we? I mean, it's our weapon that we use to fight with, but it is also the water that we have. You know, the Bible talks about being washed. What was it he said? Being cleansed by the water of the Word. But it is also the water of that Word that renews us and strengthens us. What did he say in Psalms 119? "My soul, I melteth for heaviness." He said, "Strengthen thou me according unto thy Word." Have you ever took that book when you were tired and wore out spiritually, mentally, and maybe even physically? Because I'm going to tell you, you fight a spiritual battle, it will affect you all three ways. Spiritually, mentally, and it can get you physically, by the way. What he used to fight with is what God used to strengthen him. If you'll take this book and read it, and let God open it up to you. You say, "Lord, I need some help." A lot of people say, "God, I need some help. I need some help." And then that's as far as that prayer goes. They never take that book and I open it up and begin to read it. I know God can send us help in songs. I know that. I believe that. I know God can send you some help by what I preach and what other men preach. I understand that and know that. But I know that if we'll take the effort in that, just to open the book up and say, "God, I need some help."
Take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. What does he say about the Word of God in Psalms chapter 19? Verse 7. He said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward." There is great reward. As he talks about the Word of God, he talks about that it's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. I thought about when Jonathan went to fight, and they were weak over there. And the Bible talks about, but Jonathan, he didn't hear what his, you know, Saul had said they ought to fast, and the people are weak. You can read the end of that in verse 28, and it talks about how that the people were faint. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with an oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. He got some help. Had to put forth a little effort though. That honey was just dripping from the trees. If you read that story over there, they come to a place where the honey was. Hey, I'm telling you now, we've got a place where the honey is, that we can go find help when we need help. And if we'll just dip into it, you can get enlightened by it, and it'll open your eyes, and it'll give you some help to find strength for what you need and how to fight. Samson was tired. You know, when I read about Samson and all these things, you realize that Samson was just a man, don't you? He was an unusual man, and God used him, but he was just a man. Can I tell you tonight, church, you're just men and women that are going to have to fight battles and are going to have to fight wars, and all we've got is the help of God in our life tonight, and He's gave us a book that we can fight with and a book that we can find help to get us through it when we get faint and wore out. I don't understand how this book works, but I know it works. I don't understand it tonight. I really don't. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand how this book works tonight, but I know the very thing that he gave me to fight with is the very thing that I can use and that to, when I'm thirsty and spiritually wore out and spiritually down, I can find help out of it. You know what I have found in my life is, you know, it'll help me for the day, but then sometimes I got to go back and do it again tomorrow. And then I got to go back and do it again the next day. Unless you're fasting. Unless you're fasting. We don't fast from the Word of God. But unless you're fasting, chances are you're going to eat. And you're going to eat, one, because you want to eat. Two, because you're hungry. But three, because you need some strength. And that's where we find it at. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Hebrews chapter 5 calls it the meat of the Word. And so we find milk and we find meat in the Word. And that's what strengthens us to get us through. If I could encourage you tonight, I know we're going to get faint in the battle sometimes, but I'm glad He can strengthen us in the battle, He can strengthen us through the battle, and He can strengthen us after the battle. We go, boy, I'm glad that's over with. I'm glad that battle's fought, and I'm glad it's done. And then we sat down, and now I'm tired. And you know what you got to be doing? You got to be getting yourself ready for the next battle. Because if you come down through here, you'll find out that Samson, well, as they were in the next chapter, as they were laying in wait for him all night, and they were going to kill him, that in the middle of the night, he arose up and took the gates of the city and the two posts and went and set up our own hill with them. If he hadn't had some strength, he wouldn't have been able to do that. If you don't have some strength, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to catch you in the weariness after the battle. And he'll get you. And he'll get me if we ain't careful tonight. A lot of things I don't understand about Samson, but I know that he had the power of God upon his life. and he could fight. And God would help him fight. I'm telling you tonight, there's a lot of things I don't understand about spiritual battles and spiritual fights. And I don't understand why God lets us get into them like he does sometimes. But I'm telling you right now, God will help us go through these things. He'll strengthen us during the battle, and he'll strengthen us after the battle. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for helping us with the Word of God. We pray that this message, Lord, will go out and it'll help hearts tonight. And it'll help your people. Lord, we understand we get tired in the battle. But sometimes when the battle's over with, that's when Satan comes and really begins to afflict your people. And he really shows up that when we think it's over with, you know, that's what Samson was worried about, Lord. He said, are you going to let me die? Let the Philistines come and get me now after this great battle has been won. And Lord, I pray that we would see that we have a sword to fight with. And that, Lord, that we can use the Word of God to defeat Satan and to defeat the and win in the battle. But, Lord, that when it's over with, we find strength to keep on fighting and keep on going in the Word of God. If somebody needs some help, I pray they'll move tonight. Somebody might be lost, save them. I pray now, God, you just help for this in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed tonight.